If we're going to make fun of me for selling hangers on Facebook Marketplace, then we're going to advertise the golf clubs that Rob Domofsky has currently available on Facebook Marketplace.
Are they left-handed?
They're not left-handed, and I'm guessing that there's only a few birdies left in them because he got all of them out of them when he was playing with them. He is the star Packers reporter. Rob Domofsky is Mark Tauscher's favorite Packers reporter, and he joins us now. Rob, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Jason. Homer, these are the clubs that I shot 68 with in the club championship.
How much are they? On sale for?
They're well worn, well used. They're on sale for $150.
I'll give you $100 right now. $100 in cash.
No, I'm gonna wait.
Oh.
I've got some hangers though that I can sell you.
You won't take $100 right now? I want to have the clubs that Rob Domofsky shot 68 with in the club championship, and you won't sell them for $100. No, he doesn't have to sign anything. I didn't even ask what kind they are. They could be top flights for all I know. And you won't sell them for $100 to me.
No, not yet. I just put them up yesterday. I got to see what the market looks like.
Yeah, are you getting a lot of offers?
I got 3 or 4 inquiries. I'm not a big seller. I just was cleaning out some stuff.
Clearly not.
I sold a couple things last week.
All right, what do I have to pay to get them?
I don't understand.
What do I have to pay to get them?
I don't remember.
Asking price is $150.
I know, and I offered $100. He said no. All right, I'll go as high as $125, but that's it. If I don't get a $25 deal because I'm Homer, screw you.
I don't do shipping. You have to be local.
I didn't say you had to ship. You are finding ways to prevent me from buying them. All right, you have 5 seconds left. Who's got the clock? 4, 3. You sell them to me or not?
Wait for the next bidder. I'm getting $150 for these.
Wow, I like it.
I'm out of
this
segment.
Sticking to his guns.
I'm out of this segment. You guys take it off.
You can't do that.
My grandfather. My grandfather was a car dealer on the south side of Chicago, and he would say, I got the car, and you got the money, and it's going to stay that way.
Oh, all right. All right. Wow. Well, I just lied again. I am going to stay in this segment. So, all right. Go ahead.
Exactly. Whatever. See? Yeah. So much for the only lie of the day.
Yeah.
So, Rob, before we talk Packers or what else, I think you got a guitar. Did the guitar sell already?
Guitar sold.
That was nice. Are you quitting the guitar? Are you quitting or
no,
are you just going
to do it? That was electric. I'm sticking to acoustic because no one in my family likes to hear the electric guitar. So.
Okay. Before we get to other items for sale and Packers draft talk, we were talking about Chucky Hepburn and AJ Storr earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have one college basketball player already. You're going to have another one a year from now. You love college basketball. You have college basketball coaches who are friends of yours.
Yeah.
I am conflicted by this because I want student athletes getting their fair share from a multi-billion dollar world, but I also want some structure. You're a smart guy. Help me find the solution.
There's a couple fixes in this, Jason. I think that coaches have buyouts in their deals, right? Like when players sign NIL, put buyouts in there. If they don't stay for the second year, they owe some of it back. That's one solution. I think the other solution is to go back to limiting transfer. Now it's unlimited transfers. I realize it doesn't necessarily have to do with NIL, but it's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to transfer one time without sitting out. And if your coach gets fired or leaves, then you can leave. That's fine. Because let's face it, guys commit to coaches. They don't commit to schools.
Mm-hmm.
Women, same way. I thought it was interesting because UWGB doesn't have a coach right now, and they got a commitment from a transfer, which I
saw
like,
that.
How do you commit to a program when you don't know if the coach there wants you? But anyway, I think you put buyouts in the NIL stuff. You limit the transfer stuff and make it harder to transfer. That's it. I mean, I don't know what else you can do. I think that people are disgusted with college basketball, and I think those are the people who are fans of a team, okay? Like, if you're a fan of Wisconsin, if you're a fan of UWGB who's, you know, losing their best player, or any mid-major is going to lose their best player every year, It sucks. But I think there's still a lot of people that just are fans of college basketball, and the games are they're still really good. The tournament, I don't know what the ratings were. The tournament was just as exciting as it ever was. So I think, and I think there's so many people that just watch college basketball to gamble on it that those people don't care. The only people who are really, really bothered by this are the people who are fans of one specific team, which I'm not necessarily a fan of a specific team, although I do like to see the state teams do well, all of them, all four of them. And obviously, you know, in this case, it hurts a couple of them. I think Milwaukee might have lost their best player, too, if I'm not mistaken.
So do you I don't know if you want me putting it out on the street, the coaches that you have close relationships with.
No, but that's fine.
You know Greg Gard. Todd Kowalczyk is a very good friend of yours. What did they – when you talk to guys, because I know you still keep in touch with them, what did they tell you? Like my argument is – if we're going to treat them like students but also like pros, then we probably have to have the structure that the NFL or the NBA has of certain window for free agency or a certain window for the transfer portal, a salary cap. So one school can't pay $50 million to its players and the other school can only pay 10. What do they tell you?
Right. Well, I would just use Toledo as an example with Kowalczyk. Not this season. The season before, he had the player of the year in the conference, Ray J. Dennis. Played, I believe, 2 years for Todd and was played 2 years somewhere else. So he's got 1 year left. And Baylor, he ends up at Baylor. And Baylor offers him – I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know what's exact. But Baylor offers him $300,000 and a car. Kowalczyk's like, you got to go. I can't I would be doing you a disservice – to tell you you should stay here because I can't pay you that. Now, there are things that schools like that are doing to try to up it. I mean, Green Bay, I believe, from what I was told, tried to raise near six figures to keep Noah Reynolds, and that wasn't enough. So,
Wes Hodgkowitz didn't chip in, apparently.
Not to the athletic department, probably the journalism school. But it's just, I don't know, the people in it are just trying to deal with it. They're trying to live through it. And, like, it's not just – like, there's guys at Duke that are entering the portal, too. I mean, it's not just, like – it's not just the mid-majors, the Wisconsins of the world who are on the fringe of power teams, you know. It's everybody. So I don't know what you do other than maybe do what I said is put some buyouts in there and force these guys to be accountable. I think the interesting thing with Chucky, if I heard this right – was I asked, why did this happen so late? And apparently he waited for his last NIL payment, which was like this week, and then went into the portal. So make that last NIL payment after the portal closes.
I know there's a great column from Jim Polzine in this morning's State Journal and on Madison.com breaking it. I mean, look, Chucky Hepburn has a Badgers tattoo on his leg. He said the day that Howard Moore was celebrated at the Kohl Center, talked so much about what it meant to be a Badger. But maybe it's kind of like you said with Todd. Maybe the offer he got was one he couldn't refuse.
Right.
That's what Jim said.
Here's the crazy thing, Jason, is, I mean, Chucky's a good player or whatever. He averaged 9 points a game, and someone's going to pay him $500,000 or whatever. The one thing I wonder, and Homer, you probably have a better feel for this being around – a program that's, you know, probably got a lot of donors. At what point do the donors say, yeah, okay, we just shelled out $500,000 for this guy and he averaged 9 points a game and we didn't get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, right? Maybe, I don't know, does Tom Strong still donating to Marquette? What point does Tom Strong or whoever say, you know, I'm not going to put up this
Excuse money? Me, sir. There's no connection between NIL and the school. And you said, please keep that straight. That is a very important part of this. No one knows exactly what's being offered to be able to decide. I do have a story of a father a couple of years ago who told me the first year that what people didn't know is that players had NIL agreements, and then when they didn't play well, they didn't get the money. And
yeah,
I said, wait a minute, you have to have a contract. And he said, yes, it is moving in that direction to prevent that. But
wow.
how you would agree to something and not know for sure that you're getting it speaks to it being done by generally the family, the parents are kind of the go-between with the NIL, which, of course, has no connection to the school.
Yeah, you know, Johnny Kinzinger, DePere players at Illinois State, had a great freshman year. As he started to play more, I started to see ads for, you know, Johnny was at in an ad for one of the local healthcare providers, like the whatever the Bloomington, Illinois equivalent of Bellin or Purveya or Aurora is. He, you know, he was in an ad, a commercial for that. You know, they're gassed, the Quick Trip or whatever it is.
But you see very few ads. With all this NIL money, I ask you, how many ads have you seen of college students other than Caitlin
Clark? Right, and that was going to be... Yeah, that was going to be my point, Homer, is that Illinois State, you know, they seem to actually, that's the way they can do it because they probably don't have massive donors just willing to fork over money. You actually have to follow the rules of the NIL and get endorsements. Now, the school is helping set that up, which I assume is legal. I don't know. But you're right. Most of it is not true endorsement. It's here's, you know, and it's like, you know, pretty much you can do anything you want now. You can cheat. Cheating is legal. And somehow I thought I saw Rick Pitino still found a way to break the rules and was contacting NIL or, and offering NIL deals when he shouldn't have. So I guess you can still cheat, even though it's cheating is mostly legal. It's crazy, though. I would not want to be a college basketball coach.
You are involved. I don't know if you will tell me because you wouldn't sell me the damn golf clubs. Are you aware or have you done any negotiating to get some NIL money for your son?
Yeah. No, he averaged, I love him. He averaged 8 points a game on a team that went 5-20. We're going to wait to see the Appleton. Nobody in Appleton.
Hold on. You make fun of me. I had a friend associated with the school where your son plays, no longer, who claims that they – did you play Stevens Point this year?
Yes.
All right. That they had that somebody on Stevens Point's team, Stevens Point's team was getting some NIL money, which could be the case. Division III, sure. You want somebody to stay and not go somewhere else. The NIL, not of course associated with the school in any way, could.
That's what we're
I love you. You love to put that disclaimer in there. I will say Stevens Point's best player is still at Stevens Point. So maybe you're onto something.
All right. Talking with Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com. Let's shift gears to the Packers. You have your NFL Nation mock draft coming up soon, right? Yeah. We're less than a week away from the actual draft. You want to always look smart, which isn't always easy. Because, not because you're not smart, but because Goody does a great job of limiting. Yeah. I'm sure Goody was thrilled to see the gold jacket Hall of Fame center discussion that blew up after our conversation last week.
Wow.
I'm curious if you're having to hazard some guesses. How educated are they, and who do you have on the Mel Kiper / Rob Domofsky big board for the Packers at 25 if they stay put?
I've got my notes right here. The show, the mock draft TV show, airs on Tuesday. It is taped, so it will be taped before that, which means we have to make the picks before Tuesday. We are approaching that exercise here shortly. I have reached out like I do every year to various people around the league, and every year, Jason, the more people I talk to, the more confused I am. So I'll be perfectly honest. Since I've been doing this at ESPN, this is, I believe, the 11th year of it. I'm 0-10, or maybe this is the 12th year. I'm 0-11, whatever it is. I even texted some Packers people last year, Goody included, basically saying, look, I really want to get it right. I'm 0-4. These are the 6 or 7 players I'm considering. Is there anybody in here I shouldn't? Not asking who. You know, I'm trying every way. And all I got was, hopefully you don't go 0-12 or whatever it is. So
that was nice.
Not getting a lot of help. Not getting a lot of help from inside Lambeau. So you sort of rely on agents and scouts from other teams. But it's near impossible, especially at 25. So I've got... You know, look, I've got a lot of tackles. If Cooper DeJean is there, I think they probably take him. Although, from what I was told, it seemed a lot more likely several weeks ago that he was high on their board. It may not be, may not be so high now. Not necessarily because he's done anything, but because maybe they're not sure if he's a corner or a safety or a nickel or whatever he is, and that they're starting to realize tackles. You know, there's just more choices among the tackles. Look, I don't think Cooper DeJean is going to be there at 25. Mm-hmm. So, and we're not allowed to trade up. But if he's, I would say if he's there, I think the Packers would probably take him. I just don't know if he's going to be there. And it also depends on who else is there, right? Like if Mims and Guyton and all these tackles are gone and DeJean's there, then they take DeJean. If there's two or three tackles they like also, then maybe they take one of those guys. Wouldn't it be funny if this is the year that they pick a receiver even though they don't need one?
It would be a contrarian approach, that's for sure. You're not allowed to trade up in the NFL Nation draft. Certainly Goody is.
Right. Yes.
Do you think... I mean, I know he dropped some breadcrumbs about this at the NFL meetings, the idea that, hey, they had 13 draft picks last year, they had 11 or 12 the year before, maybe they don't need 11 this year. What likelihood do you believe there is that they will go up in the first round, maybe use number 58 to do it?
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance of it because he's moved a lot in the first rounds before. He said, though, he's not going up to the top 10, or at least, I mean, if we're to believe anything that they say at this point.
Right.
But in this case, I sort of do believe him because he's just like, unless you're going up to get a quarterback, it's too expensive to move up to the top 10. I mean, I think I can't remember. I wrote my story this week exactly kind of what it would take to get that high, and it was like, you know, the two and the three or the two and the four or whatever it was. It would have been too expensive, but to get up from 25 to 20, sure, or 25 to 18, I could see it. I mean, what was the year when they took Jair Alexander? They started at 14, they traded back to 27 or something, and then ended up going back up to 18 to take Alexander. So, I mean, he's traded a decent amount. I think that if all those guys we're talking about start to fall early and he feels like he's got to go up to get one of them, then I could see it. On the flip side, I don't think they need more picks. But if they get to the 20s and all the guys they like are gone, do they go back? You know, and maybe add another second round pick where maybe they feel like there's more, you know, more value. Like I know a lot of people have the who's the inside linebacker? Cooper, is that his name? A lot of Edger and Cooper, I think. Really terrible with these names. But I think a lot of people have them taking him in the second round. There might be guys like that that they feel like there's just better value, early to mid second round and end up, trading back if that's the case.
Edger and Cooper is from Texas A&M. They also had Peyton Wilson, who's a linebacker from North Carolina State, in for a visit. Yeah. I will admit, that's the one tip that I look at closely is who comes in for a visit. Now, Jair didn't visit. Lots of guys don't visit, but it is interesting who they've had in for some of those visits.
They had the cornerback McKinstry in, right? But he had a medical issue, so I wonder what that. I mean, just someone should keep a chart of all the guys who visits and what the percentage of ones that are taken. I've never done it. The other thing too is it's not like the list of people who visit is just readily available. There's reported visits, but they don't add up to 30. And we know that you can bring 30 guys in, and I'm sure they're using all 30. So there's guys that have visited that, that hasn't even been reported until sometimes after the fact, though, a player will say, I came in for a visit.
Right.
But it would be interesting to chart, just what percentage of guys they picked that were pre-draft visits.
All right, last thing before Homer gets after you again and we let you go for not selling
your clubs.
I'm not
getting after him again. I'm not begging.
You were at Lambeau a couple weeks ago on video because your house was being painted. The most important question I have is, did you paint that room the same color it was before? Or was that room not painted?
No, it was a different room. Different room. It was the laundry room. It was the laundry room that Tausch that I had showed that had all the different swaths of test colors. That was being painted. I was told, though, that in the state that the laundry room is currently in, I'm not allowed to show that on internet television in the current state. So maybe next week it will be put back together that I'm allowed to show that. But the boss said no this week.
All right, Rob.
I can't let Rob go because I want to clarify something. I don't want to be accused of being inaccurate.
Or lying.
As far as NIL, two things remain disallowed by NCAA rules. You cannot pay a player. And two, players are not supposed to get any compensation tied to performance, and recruits cannot sign any NIL deal contingent on going to any particular school.
I was told, Homer, that there was a player who, from the state of Wisconsin, who transferred the last cycle, not this year, but the year before, that went to a high major school that was getting bonuses for every game he scored in double figures.
Well, that may be so. And I would say it's very likely. But please know that I have stated to you the standards that exist, reinforcing Jason Wilde's belief that they have no clue what the hell they're doing. Right, Jason?
I think that's fair.
Recruits cannot sign any NIL deal contingent on going to any particular school. I ask both of you, don't you believe that every decision on a particular school is now based on NIL contingency?
Yeah. No doubt. And here's the thing I
not
wonder.
Not your son, though. I don't call not your son.
Like 5 years from now, is somebody's Final Four appearance going to be vacated because they violated NIL things, right? I mean, way back when you used
all of them.
Find out.
Yes, yes, everyone. Everyone.
There was no Final Four.
Right, every
school.
There was
no Final Four in 2022, 2023.
If I was a school, I would just announce that I just want everyone to know we are not violating NCAA rules. Because, yes, I believe maybe every team in the tournament.
Yeah, probably.
Nate Oates can take that banner down right now. All right, that's it for us. I will see you Monday for Goody and Wednesday for our local TV appearance together. Rob, you're the best. We appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll be seeing you.
We may have gone over time with Rob, but we had important things to discuss, including college basketball and the Packers draft. More with Homer, our cousin, sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.